The only thing better than grinding all night for your side hustle is your roommate picking you up with Mickey D's breakfast. The perfect pickup deal.
There's a deal for every morning at McDonald's.
Now enjoy a hot and spicy McChicken biscuit or sausage biscuit with hash browns for just $2. Price and participation may vary, cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to the season finale of College Football Playoff Focus. This is the show that gets you caught up on anything and everything happening around in the world of college football. Coming up on the season finale of the program, we have Thomas Ashworth. Thomas is the sports editor for the Chanticleer, which is the student newspaper for Jacksonville State University. He's also a sports correspondent for the Anniston Star and a contributor for Tomahawk Take, which is the official Atlanta Braves fan site of the Fansided Sports Network. On the program, we recap the 2022 College Football Playoff National Championship game between the Georgia Bulldogs and Alabama Crimson Tide. In addition, we have highlights from the game. Thomas will be coming up a little bit later on the program, but when we come back from break, we'll have the highlights from the game. Stay tuned. I'm Ed Robinson, and you're listening to College Football Playoff Focus.
They said it could be some kind of food allergy.
My muscles ached. I was tired all the time.
It happened like that, a full-blown asthma attack. It was scary.
The unsettling thing about some symptoms is
a fever, headaches. I have these red, itchy welts.
You don't always know what's causing them.
It was Lyme disease from a tick bite.
I had West Nile virus from a mosquito.
A reaction triggered by cockroach allergen.
Bed bugs.
Threats to your health can come from the most unexpected places. Mosquitoes can transmit West Nile virus and also Zika virus. Ticks can carry Lyme disease and Rocky Mountain spotted fever, and allergens from cockroaches can trigger asthma attacks, leading to respiratory distress. Don't wait until you or someone you love is suffering with unexplained symptoms. Get the facts you need to protect your family. Visit pestworld.org.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. So now it's time for the highlights of the game between the Georgia Bulldogs and the Alabama Crimson Tide in the 2022 College Football Playoff National Championship game. The final score was the Georgia Bulldogs beating the Alabama Crimson Tide. Final score was 33-18, and it shocked a lot of people in this game between the Crimson Tide and the Bulldogs. Of course, the Bulldogs came in as the number third ranked team in the country, according to the College Football Playoff rankings, and the Alabama Crimson Tide, of course, were the number one team in the country. Here's how the scoring summary all went down. The first score belonged to the Alabama Crimson Tide, as the Crimson Tide got a 37-yard field goal by Will Reichard to give Alabama a 3-0 lead. We move along now to the second quarter, where the University of Georgia got a field goal from kicker Jack Potlesny as he made a 24-yard field goal to tie the game at 3. Still in the second quarter, another field goal from Will Reichard. This time it was a 45-yard field goal, giving Alabama a 6-3 lead. We move along now to the middle of the second quarter. Again, Alabama extends their lead 9-3 with a 37-yard field goal by Will Reichard. However, late in the second quarter, just before halftime, Georgia would cut the lead 9-6 as kicker Jack Potlesny kicked a 49-yard field goal, giving Alabama a 9-6 lead at halftime. Things started heating up in the second half as we finally got scores on the board. Late in the third quarter, Zamir White, running back for the Georgia Bulldogs, would score a 1-yard rushing touchdown. Here's how it went down.
And Deuce White muscles in the first touchdown of this championship game, and Georgia claims its first lead.
Watch this move right to the inside. Boom! The push, the power, the strength, and a touchdown for White.
All right, that audio was courtesy of ESPN. That was Chris Fowler and Kirk Herbstreit on the call. So again, Zamir White scores a 1-yard rushing touchdown for the Georgia Bulldogs. The extra point was good, giving Georgia its first lead of the game, 13-9. We move along now to the early fourth quarter. Alabama again would add three more points on the board as Will Reichert made a 21-yard field goal, giving the Crimson Tide cutting Georgia's lead 13-12 early in the fourth quarter. Continuing early in the fourth quarter, Alabama would get its first touchdown of the game as Heisman Trophy winner Bryce Young would throw a touchdown pass to Cameron Latu. Here's how it happened.
Pressure. Young. Touchdown! On the run, he found Latu. Tides first touchdown, and Alabama reclaims the lead with 10-4.
I want you to watch what he does at the top of his route. See him push there at the end of the route, gets the separation. The defensive back's on his backside, the safety, Christopher Smith. Nothing.
All right, again, that audio was courtesy of ESPN. That was Chris Fowler and Kirk Herbstreit on the call. So Bryce Young's touchdown pass to Cameron Latu was successful. Unfortunately, the two-point conversion was no good, but Alabama regained the lead in the game 18-13, and Alabama would not score another touchdown for the remainder of the game. We move along now to the middle of the fourth quarter. Georgia regained the lead as Stetson Bennett would throw a 40-yard touchdown pass to Adonai Mitchell. Here's how that happened.
Locking tight end Fitzpatrick, now another flag. Bennett launching, Mitchell caught it, touchdown Georgia! With a free play, the Dogs retake the lead.
Recognition, he sees Tim Smith jump, he says, what the heck, let's go to the young corner, we've gone after him here a little bit on this drive, let's take a shot with my freshman Mitchell against Jackson. Ball underthrown just a bit. Jackson never turns to find the ball, and a great job again by a Georgia player locking in to secure.
So the touchdown by Bennett to Mitchell was 40 yards. The two-point conversion was no good for Georgia, but Georgia regained the lead 19-18. We move along now to late in the fourth quarter, and Georgia would increase their lead 26-18 as Stetson Bennett would throw another touchdown pass, this time to Brock Bowers. Here's how it happened.
Comes up short.
I don't like this spot at all. It's 3rd and 1. They're going to throw for it. Bowers has got it. He's got a blocker. Touchdown, Georgia. And here is a flag down, though. Hold on.
Bowers eventually toe-to-toe thinks, I got to get out there. But his eyes were in the backfield. There you can see Battle hit Stetson Bennett. But nobody out there. Bowers is able to get free and walk into the end zone. Bama kind of rolling the dice, hoping that they would get to Bennett. Nobody takes Brock Bowers. That's an easy touchdown.
So Bennett throws the touchdown pass to Bowers. The extra point was good, increasing Georgia's lead 26-18. Late in the fourth quarter, again, Alabama had one last chance to get a touchdown and possibly tie the game with a two-point conversion, but it would not happen. Here's how the scoring play for Georgia went down.
Biggest third down in Bryce Young's career. You need 10. Play clock at 4. From the pocket. Launching downfield. Underthrown and intercepted. Kaylee Ringo has an escort down the sidelines. All the way to the end zone. And Georgia is going to conquer the Crimson Tide. The sweet irony not lost on the Georgia faithful. It was a pick six that doomed them in round one in Atlanta. And now a pick six has sealed it. And Keely Ringo, who plays for his mom, he's been battling breast cancer in recent years. She works hard to attend the games of her son. She was there at the SEC championship game, and look at the tears.
Oh, man. Yeah, let's just take that in right there. Good for 13, man. Good for Stetson Bennett.
in a spectacular season for the Heisman Trophy winner, this was not his finest moment. Without his man.
And again, that audio was courtesy of ESPN, and that was Chris Fowler and Kirk Herbstreit on the call, and it wasn't Bryce Young's finest moment in this game. So the Georgia Bulldogs cap off the game with Kaylee Ringo scoring a 79-yard interception return touchdown. The extra point was good, and the Georgia Bulldogs would beat the Alabama Crimson Tide 33-18 to win the 2022 College Football Playoff National Championship. Here are the final statistics from the game. First for Georgia, Stetson Bennett completed 17 out of 26 passes for 224 yards, two touchdown passes and no interceptions. On the rushing side, Zamir White at 13 carries for 84 yards and a touchdown. James Cook at 6 carries for 77 yards. On the receiving side, George Pickens had only one catch for 52 yards. Adonai Mitchell had two catches for 50 yards and a touchdown. Brock Bowers had four catches for 36 yards and a touchdown. Jermaine Burton, two catches for 28 yards. Kenny McIntosh, three catches for 23 yards. And James Cook, two catches for 15 yards. Meanwhile, on the losing side for Alabama, Bryce Young finished completing 35 out of 57 passes for 369 yards, a touchdown pass, and two interceptions. Brian Robinson had 22 carries for 68 rushing yards, and he also had four catches for 28 yards. On the receiving side, Cameron Latu had five catches for 102 yards and a touchdown. Before he suffered an injury to his knee, Jameson Williams finished the game with four catches for 65 yards. Ja'Cory Brooks, six catches for 47 yards. And Slade Bolden had seven catches for 44 yards. And Trayshawn Holden, six catches for 28 yards. The offensive MVP of this game was quarterback for Georgia, Stetson Bennett. And the defensive MVP was Lewis Cine, safety for the Georgia Bulldogs. So, again, it came as a shock to some people. To some people, it didn't come as a shock, but again, Alabama beat Georgia just over a month ago in the SEC championship game, but they met once again, and this time the Georgia Bulldogs, of course, led by Kirby Smart, taking down his teacher, Nick Saban, in this year's College Football Playoff National Championship game. This is Georgia's first national championship since 1980, so it's been a long time coming, and a lot of schools have gotten ahead of Georgia in terms of winning national championships, but not this year. As again, congratulations to the school, the mascot in Athens, Georgia, the Georgia Bulldogs, for winning the 2022 College Football Playoff National Championship game. All right, when we come back from the break, I have an interview with Thomas Ashworth. He is the sports editor for the Chanticleer, which is the student newspaper for Jacksonville State University, sports correspondent for the Anniston Star, and a contributor for Tomahawk Take, which is the official Atlanta Braves fan site of the FanSided Sports Network. We get the full lowdown on what Thomas's thoughts were on Georgia's performance in this game. We talk more about Stetson Bennett. Also, we talk about Lewis Cine and so much more, including the atmosphere on campus in Athens, Georgia, as well as tailgating and some other great things. Thomas is coming up after the break. I'm Ed Robinson, and you're listening to College Football Playoff Focus.
At 1 Hour Heating and Air Conditioning, our comfort specialist can handle any heat or repair. Just call 855-1-HOUR or visit onehourair.com. At 1 Hour Heating and Air Conditioning, our comfort specialist can handle any heat or repair. Just call 855-1-HOUR or visit onehourair.com. Independently owned and operated, licensed in their respective state or county.
At 1 Hour Air Conditioning and Heating, our comfort specialists can handle any heat or repair. Just call 855-1-HOUR or visit onehourair.com. Independently owned and operated, licensed in their respective state or county.
And Zeus White muscles in the first touchdown of the championship game, and Georgia claims its first lead.
Watch this move right to the inside. Boom! The push, the power, the strength, and a touchdown for White. Comes up short.
I don't like this spot at all. It's third and one. They're going to throw for it. Bowers has got it. He's got a blocker. Touchdown, Georgia. And here is a flag down, though. Hold on.
Bowers eventually toe-to-toe thinks, I got to get out there. But his eyes were in the backfield. There you can see Battle hit Stetson Bennett, but nobody out there. And
Bowers is able to get free and walk into the end zone. Bama kind of rolling the dice, hoping that they would get to Bennett. Nobody.
Blocking tight end, Fitzpatrick. Now another flag. Bennett launching. Mitchell. Caught it. Touchdown, Georgia. With a free play, the Dogs retake the lead.
Recognition. He sees Tim Smith jump. He says, what the heck? Let's go to the young corner. We've gone after him here a little bit on this drive. Let's take a shot with my freshman, Mitchell, against Jackson. Ball on.
Biggest third down Bryce Young's career. You need 10. Play clock at 4. From the pocket. Launching downfield. Underthrown and intercepted. Keely Ringo has an escort down the sidelines. All the way to the end zone. And Georgia is going to conquer the Crimson Tide.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. That audio was courtesy of ESPN. That was Chris Fowler and Kirk Herbstreit on the call of the 2022 College Football Playoff National Championship game between the Georgia Bulldogs and the Alabama Crimson Tide, with UGA, Georgia, winning its first national championship since 1980, and they handled their business, of course, Stetson Bennett and head coach Kirby Smart making big strides in that victory. To talk more about that game, let's welcome him back to the program. He is a sports editor for the Chanticleer, which is the student newspaper for Jacksonville State University. Also, he's a sports correspondent for the Anniston Star and a contributor for Tomahawk Take, which is a fan-sided page dedicated to the Atlanta Braves. Thomas Ashworth. Thomas, welcome back to the program, my man.
How are you doing? Good to hear from you again.
Doing well, man. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be on the program. So let's get right to it. Thomas, what were your takeaways from the national championship game with Georgia beating Alabama?
I mean, it's huge. As we talked about last time that I was on the show, with just the atmosphere in the state just being so overwhelmingly happy. I mean, if you look at the people who won a national championship before Georgia, I mean, you got Georgia Tech, Colorado, Brigham Young University, Nebraska, and 5 other SEC schools won it before Georgia won it this year. So the vibe around Georgia, the whole atmosphere, just being so happy that this drought is finally over, was just really awesome, especially from, like, if you look on Facebook, if you look on Twitter, you'll get a piece of it. But just being in the atmosphere of Georgia, like the state, Athens even, Atlanta, wherever you're at, it's just such a cool atmosphere to be able to have a championship bring back home to Georgia.
All right, and let's delve more deep into this. And again, it's been a long time for the University of Georgia. As I mentioned at the beginning, it's their first national championship since 1980. And as you mentioned, Thomas, there were a lot of schools that had won championships before Georgia, before Georgia reclaimed the title here in 2022. And definitely, I want to get into Stetson Bennett. What a wild ride it's been for him, playing at a junior college in Mississippi and then becoming a walk-on at UGA. Of course, the situation with JT Daniels, he gets hurt, and then he's benched, and then Stetson comes in and makes an immediate impact, and he becomes the starter, and he doesn't let up. And then, I mean, in this game, he finished with completing 17 out of 26 passes for 224 yards and 2 touchdown passes. Just give me your thoughts on Stetson's play in the game.
Well, to start off, I mean, if you compare the two quarterbacks, Bryce Young, I mean, he's top 3 recruit this year. If you look at the schools that offered him, it was Alabama, Georgia, Miami, you know, Ohio State, Oregon, those kinds of schools, Power 5. But if you look at, like, Stetson Bennett, he was in the thousands on the recruits. He was way at the bottom, 2-star, 3-star. It was one of the two, but he got offers from, I mean, an FCS school, Mercer, and Georgia Southern, a couple of other schools, Old Dominion, I think, was on there. But just to be able to see him go from walk-on and watch a freshman that came in lead Georgia to a national championship in Jake Fromm, and then he goes to junior college, makes a name for himself, gets a scholarship, comes back, and then coaches even tell him, you're never going to start for Georgia. And then he comes, leads them to a national championship. It should be a movie in and of itself. I mean, if you look at it. And you look at the game, and you say, you know, Georgia's offense, they didn't even throw a touchdown until the fourth quarter. They had to lose this game, but Stetson Bennett overcame. And, you know, he put up great numbers, 17 of 26, 224 yards. That's nothing to frown at all. And winning offensive player of the game, too, was really awesome. But even the game aside, even if he threw two interceptions and they won this game, like, just such a huge moment for somebody like Stetson Bennett, who came out just such an awesome story, you know.
Indeed, it is an awesome story. And as you mentioned, Thomas, they could make a movie out of this. I mean, they made a movie out of Rudy. They definitely have a perfect script for a Stetson Bennett. And, man, what a year it was for him. And, again, nobody expected Georgia when the situation went down with JT Daniels. Nobody expected Stetson to come in. As you mentioned, he was only like at the most a two-star, three-star athlete in the thousands and was recruited by small schools. So definitely he did his thing in the national championship game. Another person that did their thing in the national championship game, I want to talk about on the defensive side. He was the defensive MVP, Lewis Seen, and Lewis had six tackles in this game against Alabama. Just give me your thoughts on Lewis's play in the game.
Yeah, I mean, the dude is a stud. If you just look at his numbers all throughout the game, even going back to what he did against Cincinnati in the in their postseason games that they had against them last year, put up some great numbers, and being on third team All-American and getting those tackles, getting what needs to be done on the defensive side of the ball. If you look at the game, if you look at the flow of the game, I mean, it looked like the Rams versus Patriots Super Bowl where they were just going to kick field goals until somebody scored a touchdown. That's about just about how it was. But for people like him who contributed so much and got tackles forced, he forced Bryce Young out of the pocket so much. He put a lot of pressure on not just the quarterbacks, but on the running backs too. I mean, he's quick, and he got the job done for sure. And he definitely contributed in a huge way for the Georgia defense that needed some big contributors for the day.
All right, and I want to stay on the defensive side for a moment. Kaylee Ringo, six tackles, including the interception return for a touchdown, which sealed the deal for the Bulldogs. I know Kaylee was playing for a lot in this game. I know his mom recently is diagnosed with breast cancer. She's been battling her health issues, so he wanted to do it for her, win this game for her. And I want to ask you, just give me your thoughts on Kaylee's play in this game.
I remember when he was when he signed with Georgia. I mean, he's a freshman. Came out of nowhere. Well, didn't come out of nowhere. He had a great year as well. But, you know, he wasn't really a household name when you have such a studded defense with Jordan Davis and N'Kobe Dean. It's hard to get your name out there for sure. But when you look at his numbers throughout the year, he's been a solid contributor on and off the bench. I mean, and then I know that a lot of Georgia fans, they weren't really letting their breath out of stress until the game hit all the zeros. But Kaylee Ringo's, they call it chip six. He ran it back for a touchdown. Gave a lot of Georgia fans a moment to breathe after 40-something years of just wondering if they'd win a national championship. And that might have been a bigger moment than actually hoisting the trophy for some Georgia fans, just being able to have that moment where they knew that just it was all good and everything was all right.
Yeah, indeed, everything was all right when Kaylee, as you call it, the chip six, and ran it in the end zone for the touchdown, securing the deal, getting the win and the chip for the Georgia Bulldogs. I want to continue on the defensive side. Channing Tindall and Nolan Smith, they both had five tackles, and they both recorded a sack in this game. Just give me your thoughts on their play in this game.
I mean, there were a few things that had to happen for Georgia to win. One of the things was get Bryce Young out of the pocket, get him under pressure. And another thing was keep the ball from going deep. And they were able to accomplish those two things. I mean, Bryce Young, you know, as we talked about, he's a stud. He threw for like almost 60 passes, but ultimately he threw two costly interceptions for the Crimson Tide. One of them returned for a touchdown, clearly, but they contributed in the way that they needed to. And one of the big things, like I said, that analyst talked about was getting pressure on Bryce Young, making sure that if he threw the ball, that nobody was going to catch it and run for a touchdown and burn those Georgia corners. They were able to put pressure on Bryce Young, get him out of the pocket, and just ensure that there was a lot of safety for those wide receivers for sure.
All right, I want to move get back to the offensive side. Zamir White, he had 13 carries for 84 yards and a touchdown. Just give me your thoughts on Zamir's play in this game.
Yeah, Zamir White, he actually declared for the NFL draft not too long ago, just about an hour ago. The dude, he overcame two torn ACLs, and he played in the national championship game. I think he'll be – you'll definitely see him play on Sunday for sure. 13 carries, 84 yards, a touchdown. Dude's a stud. He was behind a lot of great – he learned from a lot of great people, a lot of great running backs off the bench and on the bench. Throughout his time at Georgia, he's a junior, so but it almost feels like he's a freshman. He's just contributed so much, and there's a loaded running back room for Georgia, for sure. James Cook, the younger brother of Dalvin Cook, Kenny McIntosh, they all contributed in such a great way. But Zamir White was one of those prospects that really drew a lot of attention whenever he was trying to figure out which school he wanted to go to. But I know that every Georgia fan is thankful for his time that he spent in Athens.
All right, and speaking of being thankful, I know Kirby Smart was thankful for his time, for the time that he spent under the tutelage of Nick Saban, of course, being with Nick during his short amount of time in the NFL with the Miami Dolphins, and then, of course, the short amount of time him and Nick spent together at LSU and the time that Kirby spent with Coach Saban at Alabama. And Kirby has been the head coach at the University of Georgia since 2016, and he finally got over the hump. Georgia had an opportunity in 2018. They didn't get it done. They had opportunities within the last several years in the SEC championship game, unsuccessful. But now Kirby Smart finally got over the hump and beat Nick Saban when it mattered the most, which is in a college football playoff national championship game. Just give me your thoughts, Thomas, on Coach Smart's strategy coming into this game.
I mean, if you look at these comparisons, I've seen before the national championship game, there were so many comparisons saying Kirby Smart's just like Mark Richt. He does so well, but he doesn't get the job done. And he definitely proved everyone wrong in a big way against Alabama national championship. And if you look at that conversation that Nick Saban and Kirby Smart had right after the game, it was, you know, you put up a great fight, you did awesome, and how's the wide receiver, he said Jameson Williams eventually, but he said, how's he doing? They just have such a great respect for each other, and that's how football should be. They just have great respect for each other. And as you mentioned, he was there for Saban's short time with the Miami Dolphins. A lot of people don't know that, but they've been together for a long time, and he was actually, when he was offered that defensive coordinator spot for Georgia for a raise, he ultimately didn't take it when he was at Alabama, but he came back to Georgia as the head football coach. And a lot of people, like I said, they say he's just like Mark Richt. He's not going to get the job done. But, I mean, if you look at what he's done, he's given Georgia an SEC championship, four division titles in six seasons. He was two-time coach of the year. He's beaten Georgia Tech every time that they've played. He's beaten Florida. He's lost to Florida just once. I mean, he's beaten big names like Clemson, Notre Dame, Michigan, just to name a few. And all these, all these comparisons to Mark Richt and not being able to get the job done were finally put to rest. He's 3-1 in the conference in the CFP now. He's 6-2 in bowl games, and he's definitely gonna have his trophy or have a statue put out of him one day. As far as the national championship concerned, if you look on Twitter, if you look on Facebook, you'll see how excited he is that his team finally succeeded. He's definitely a coach that the players love for sure. And that's a huge thing whenever you're coaching college football.
Indeed it is, Thomas. And I want to stay just with Kirby and just college football. We know how competitive and how dog-eat-dog it is in the SEC. And there's so many talented head coaches in the SEC, from Nick Saban to Sam Pittman, so you have Mike Leach and there's Lane Kiffin. Also, you put Jimbo Fisher in the mix, and now you've got the recent resurgence of Mark Stoops, and now you've got Brian Kelly and Billy Napier now joining the conference. Where do you think Kirby is now? Do you think he's above Saban, or do you think he's close, or where do you think he stands among the head coaches in the SEC?
Well, if you, I mean, nobody's ever going to be Saban. Saban is, and unless something crazy happens, but Saban is just that guy, and he's the guy to beat. And in his post-game press conference, Kirby Smart even talked about it. He said, so Alabama is the measuring stick. They're the ones that you're going to look at, and you're going to say, we beat Alabama. That was a good season. They are the guys that you want to beat. But as far as head coaches, I mean, all these guys are really good coaches. I mean, if you look at the bottom of the SEC, besides Vanderbilt, it's LSU who went 6-7 this season, and they just got a new head coach. So it's definitely going to be an interesting year in the SEC next year with, as you mentioned, the new coaches coming in and the emergence of Stoops and Kiffin and all these guys, and Texas A&M's huge recruiting classes they brought in as well. As far as coaches, pure coaches, Georgia and Kirby Smart are going to be a force to be reckoned with for a long time. Did they knock off Alabama for sure, and did they finally end the Bama fatigue that we all have? No. But as far as what Kirby Smart's been able to do, it definitely puts him at the top of the SEC coaches. In the East, for sure. As far as in the West, he doesn't have quite what Saban has yet, but, I mean, he's got a lot of years of coaching left, so we'll just see how he does.
I want to stay with coaching for a moment. We've mentioned about him, about Kirby being amongst the head coaches in the SEC. What about coaches in college football, such as a Mel Tucker and a Jim Harbaugh and also Luke Fickell and, of course, Lincoln Riley, who left Norman and now is in Los Angeles at USC, and, of course, with Marcus Freeman, and you've got Mario Cristobal going from Oregon to Miami. Where does he rank in terms of the premier head coaches in all of college football?
I think that he's definitely up there. I mean, it's clear, you know, they just won a national championship. How could you say he's not up there? But if you look at people like Gene Chizik, I mean, he won a national championship with Auburn, and then they fell off. And ultimately he got fired. Now he's that UNC doing his thing. But ultimately it's just guys who are able to build a program and keep it. And Kirby Smart's definitely one of those guys. As we talked about his accolades, sure, you can talk about them all you want, but it's what he brings to the players as well. They're excited to play for him. They're just eager to be able to say they're a Georgia Bulldog just because of what Kirby's been able to accomplish over there. He's a player's coach, as I mentioned, and that's one of the biggest things that you need to be is a player's coach. If you look at the video of – this is a really awesome video if you haven't watched it yet, but whenever Marcus Freeman was ultimately announced as the head coach to his players, they all got so excited. They were all just so excited for him to be able to lead this team. And ultimately he fell short against Oklahoma State in his first game as a head coach, but that doesn't mean that he's not going to continue to build up what those players need. Kirby Smart's, as I mentioned, he's a great mind, players coach, and he's definitely top five, could be top one very, very, very shortly. If he just continues to keep doing what he's doing, he's going to be a Hall of Fame coach for sure.
All right, and then, of course, the Georgia Bulldogs handled their business, beating the Alabama Crimson Tide, final score 33-18, to give Georgia its first national championship since 1980. And, you know, college football, Thomas, is all about uniqueness in college football towns. We have Baton Rouge, we have Tuscaloosa, there's State College, Pennsylvania. You also have Columbus, Ohio, there's East Lansing, Michigan, Ann Arbor, Michigan, Gainesville, Florida, just to name a few. But in your opinion, what makes Athens, Georgia, a unique college football town?
Yeah, one of the big things that every single university, every single stadium, every single fan base, whatever, any of them, whatever they have this tradition. You need to have a good tradition. You need to just be able to tie things to your roots. If you look at the stadium is just part of the history of Athens. If you look at inside the stadium, there's between the hedges is a huge thing. Vince Dooley always talked about the hedges as being magical, the hedges being one of the greatest traditions in college football. And they're still there. I mean, if you go to a college football game in Athens, you're going to see those big green hedges on the sidelines. And another cool thing that they have is a great band. They have the Redcoat Band. and they're a premier marching band for sure. And they have those chants, they have glory, they have everything that you would want out of just a genuinely good college band that just continues to carry the traditions that they've always had. And if you look at the fourth quarter of the national championship game in Indianapolis, all the Georgia fans, they brought their fourth quarter lights. And that's whenever all the fans turn their phone flashlights on in the fourth quarter. And it just really has a unification about it. And I think that definitely was part of it. I mean, a good tradition, a good student section, a good band is worth a field goal a game, honestly. If you have those fans, if you have those people who come up to every single game and tailgate, the people who continue to just pour into the tradition, who have the good band that you have, the good student section, the good just camaraderie that you have, it's worth a few points a game to have people cheering for you the whole time. But there's just something special in Athens that they have going, and it's definitely awesome to see.
You said it best, Thomas. Every college town has their traditions. You mentioned about former coach Vince Dooley with the hedges around the stadium and, of course, marching bands and just the atmosphere. It's definitely unique, and no matter where you are, whether you're in one of the Power Five conferences or even a small Division II or whatever, college football towns are very unique. And let's stay with another unique part of college football, and that's tailgating. What types of food are served at a Georgia football tailgate?
Man, down here in the South, you can't really go anywhere and there's not chicken. One of the big things in Athens, everywhere you go, Kennesaw, wherever you are in Georgia, is Chick-fil-A nugget trays. I mean, you can get 30 of them, you can get 100 of them if you wanted to, but there's going to be chicken everywhere you go. It smells amazing everywhere you go, and it reeks of chicken wherever you go around here. It's delicious. Another thing, obviously, barbecue. People bring their grills out for any reason. It doesn't even have to be a football game. It can be somebody graduating. There's going to be grills out for it around here. Down in Athens, there's a lot of great food that you can get. One of my favorites in Athens is this. It's Eddie's Calzones, I think it is. It's a lot of people pass by it. It's right on the strip, but it's one of my favorite places in Athens. I love that place. Whenever I go, I eat there. But there's a few things you can count on in Georgia. That's college football and chicken. It's two of those things.
Awesome, man. What a winning combination right there. You heard it from him. He's Thomas Ashworth. Of course, he's a sports editor for the Chanticleer, which is Jacksonville State University's student newspaper. He's also a sports correspondent for the Anniston Star and a contributor for Tomahawk Take. Again, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us. Just tell everybody what your current positions at those companies.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Thomas Ashworth Zero. I post a lot of things on there, talk about sports a lot. If you want to give me a follow there, check me out. You can find the Chanticleer, which is JSU student newspaper. It's a growing newspaper. We're doing a lot of cool things over there. Check us out. If you just look up the Chanticleer, you can find us there. Subscribe to the Anniston Star if you want. We cover a lot of awesome high school stuff and a lot of great Alabama athletics. Find it. Just look up the Anniston Star. And then if you go to TomahawkTake.com, it's one of the biggest Braves blogs out there. Be sure to check us out there as well.
Before I let you go, Thomas, I want to ask you, so now that Georgia has won the national championship, what's the outlook for the Bulldogs in 2022 in terms of repeating and the recruiting trail? What's it looking like for 2022?
I mean, the transfer portal is becoming a huge thing. And I know that there's a ton of movements in the transfer portal, especially with the quarterbacks. But as far as Georgia's quarterback room, I think it's pretty secure. But recruiting is just the start of it. You got the transfer portal. You got all these guys who are inking some money deals now to come and play for these teams. And ultimately, the NFL draft is going to decide it. What's going on with who's going to declare for the draft? That's still going on. But I think that our defensive coordinator is going to be huge too for Georgia. This is going to Oregon to take the head coaching job there. But as far as what happens with the draft and everybody leaving and who we're going to take, I think that Georgia's could continue to – they're definitely going to have a shot at the SEC championship. As far as the national championship is concerned, we'll just have to see what happens with recruiting and all that. But I think they're definitely going to stay at the top of the SEC East.
All right, fair enough. And one more time, Thomas, tell everybody where they can find you on social media, as well as the Chanticleer, Aniston Star, Tomahawk Take, and if any websites you have, let them know that as well.
Yeah, as I mentioned, you can find me on Twitter at ThomasAshworth0. You can find it, the Chanticleer at ChanticleerJSU on Twitter. You can find us on our website there. You can find the Aniston Star. If you just look us up or go to Twitter at Aniston Star. And then at Tomahawk Take, you can find us at Tomahawk Take FS for Fansided. It's one of the biggest Braves blogs out there. We post a lot of great stuff. Be sure to check us out there. And I appreciate you having me on, Ed. I appreciate it a lot.
Thank you so much, man. I appreciate you for taking time out of your busy schedule for coming on board. And you heard it from him. He's Thomas Ashworth. Thomas, again, thank you so much. And if ever you want to come back on, feel free to let us know.
All righty. You take care, man. Appreciate you.
You too. Appreciate you too. We'll be back with more right after this.
And Zeus White muscles in the first touchdown of this championship game, and Georgia claims its first lead. Watch this move right to the inside. Boom! The push. Blocking tight end Fitzpatrick. Now another flag. Bennett launching. Mitchell. Caught it. Touchdown, Georgia! With a free play, the Dogs retake. Comes up short. I don't like this spot at all. It's third and one. They're going to throw for it. Bowers has got it. He's got a blocker. Touchdown, Georgia! And here is a flag down, though. Hold on. Bowers eventually toe-to-toe thinks, I got to get out there. But his eyes were in the backfield. There you can see Battle hit Stephen Bennett, but nobody out there.
Biggest third down in Bryce Young's career. You need 10. Play clock at 4. From the pocket. Launching downfield. Underthrown and intercepted. Keely Ringo has an escort down the sidelines. And Georgia is going to conquer the Crimson Tide.
At 1 Hour Air Conditioning and Heating, our comfort specialists can handle any heater repair. Just call 855-1-HOUR or visit 1hourair.com. Independently owned and operated, licensed in their respective state or county.
At 1 Hour Heating and Air Conditioning, our comfort specialist can handle any heater repair. Just call 855-1-HOUR or visit 1hourair.com.
Always on time, or you don't pay a dime.
Independently owned and operated, licensed in their respective state or county.
At 1 Hour Air Conditioning and Heating, our comfort specialists can handle any heater repair. Just call 855-1-HOUR or visit 1hourair.com. Independently owned and operated, licensed in their respective state or county. At 1 Hour Air Conditioning and Heating, our comfort specialists can handle any heater repair. Just call 855-1-HOUR or visit 1hourair.com.
Always on time, or you don't pay time.
Independently owned and operated, licensed in their respective state or county.
At 1 Hour Heating and Air Conditioning, our comfort specialist can handle any heater repair. Just call 855-1-HOUR or visit 1hourair.com.
Always on time, or you don't pay a dime.
Independently owned and operated, licensed in their respective state or county.
Now extended through January 14th, join a clean and spacious Planet Fitness for zero enrollment and only $10 a month. With tons of equipment and free fitness training, it's the perfect place for everybody to work out.
Even me, mister, I'm so stressed I grind my teeth more than most people grind coffee.
Especially you. Give your anxiety-clenched jaw a rest.
My molars will be so happy.
Start feeling spectacular today. Join InClub or at planetfitness.com. Zero enrollment, $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 14th. See club for details.
All right, everybody, that's going to do it for the season finale of College Football Playoff Focus. Once again, a big special thank you to Thomas Ashworth. Thomas is the sports editor for the Chanticleer, which is the student newspaper for Jacksonville State University, sports correspondent for the Anniston Star, and a contributor for Tomahawk Take, which is the official Atlanta Braves fan site of the FanSided Sports Network. Again, thank you to Thomas for giving us his insight and reads. We recap the Georgia Bulldogs winning the 2022 College Football Playoff National Championship game. And a thank you to the listeners out there on the season finale of College Football Playoff Focus. It's been such a wild ride guiding you from November up until this point as we complete our journey during the College Football Playoffs, and looking forward to another great season next year. Until next time, I'm Ed Robinson, and you've listened to College Football Playoff Focus.
The only thing better than grinding all night for your side hustle is your roommate picking you up with Mickey D's breakfast. The perfect pickup deal.
There's a deal for every morning at McDonald's.
Now enjoy a hot and spicy McChicken biscuit or sausage biscuit with hash browns for just $2. Price and participation may vary, cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
The only thing better than grinding all night for your side hustle is your roommate picking you up with Mickey D's breakfast. The perfect pickup deal.
There's a deal for every morning at McDonald's.
Now enjoy a hot and spicy McChicken biscuit or sausage biscuit with hash browns for just $2. Price and participation may vary, cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.